Morning, it's Sunday, March 28th.
I guess it's Palm Sunday. Anyway, Lord, we ask for your blessing on our time together this morning, that you would be here with us, Lord, that your truth would flow, that we would receive your truth, we would receive your light, O Lord, we would receive your very nature, O Lord, and that we it would be something that would soak into us. It would make us different, transform us. We wouldn't just have it stuck in our heads. Do a work of transformation in us to make us more like you by your Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Well, in 2021, we have the same calendar set up that we had in 82. We were in deliverance in 82, weren't we?
Yes.
And today is the 28th, and it was the 21st, and we had the 14th. On March 14th, 1982, I, for whatever reason, I'm not sure, I stood behind the pulpit and I said, "We declare war on you, Satan." And we got in war. Warfare started, and I would like to do it, but I to this day I would never guess why. And I feel that we need to do that this morning. We're two weeks late from being on the same date, but it wouldn't matter. Leading up to the deliverance in 82, a lot of weird, strange things were happening. And I experienced something that was that scared the daylights out of me. And I would wake up in the morning choking to death. And I'd wake up, and I was awake, but I don't know that I was fully awake. And a little voice would say, you know, "Say Jesus." And I could hear the voice, and it was impossible to get the name Jesus out. But once I would gurgle out something that resembled the name of Jesus, the Spirit would leave me. And I went through that I don't know how many times. And that was leading up to deliverance. And I don't know how many of us remember some of the stories, which, being real honest with you, I had a hard time accepting them and believing them myself. And even though Rodney and Betty were involved in some of these things, They seemed kind of far out. And they would be in a prayer meeting and doors would open. And a wind would blow inside the house. And all kinds of things that they told me, and I thought, yeah, sure. There's some explanation for it. And so on March 15th, 1982, when Simon was back praying for Vicki, and she was in a full-blown manifestation, the people had asked Rodney and Betty, they said, "Why didn't you guys come and deal with it? You've been dealing with a lot of things like this." And they said, "No, no, we're not going to do it. And sound like George Bush ain't going to do it. And anyway, so they stayed up at the front praying, and they said, Betty had told somebody, said, why did you get Keith? And I really didn't want to touch it. And they had been telling me about all these weird things, and so I went back at 9:30 at night and got behind Vicky, who continued to make me feel about a half an inch high, and I would like to crawl underneath something to get away. The worst part is, demons have a lot more understanding than we think they do. And so when those spirits were talking out of her and called me a hypocrite, yeah, I was. A phony, yeah, I was. And some of the other things that this thing was calling me. Well, anyway, I was talking to Curtis about stuff like this. He says, you know what? He says, I grew up that way. He said, we had doors opening and closing. He said, I was in bed one night as a kid, about 14 years old maybe. And he says, somebody came and laid down beside me, and I could feel the impression, but he said there was nobody there. He said, I jumped up and screamed, and I stayed awake the rest of the night. But he said, I could feel him come and lay down beside me. And there's a lot of weird things that go on. Well, I said all that to say that a week ago Friday night, Mark and Linda and Sue and Judy, and maybe as many Christians, and I'm not sure, they were sitting there after I had left, and all of a sudden there were people up in the other part of the church, and it's not that there couldn't be people there, but the doors were shutting and things were happening, and finally Mark says, you know what? I got to check this out. So he went over and he checked. He went through the basement and the upstairs, and there was nobody anywhere. And he said the hair stood up on the back of his neck. And it was just a real weird thing. And I thought, you know, I don't doubt that at all. I don't doubt it. And I think we're going to see another siege of deliverance. We never finished the first one. And I shouldn't say we didn't. I should say the Lord never finished it. We got two not indebted, that's not the right word, but we got too much and with other people that were deciding the way that deliverance should happen. And one of the questions in deliverance, or one of the thoughts in deliverance, is that it never seemed to take Jesus very long to cast out a spirit. And sometimes it would take us hours. And I have an answer for that whole thing. How long should a deliverance take place until a demon is gone?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Until the demon is gone. But we're impatient. We want it right now. And somebody that kind of took over the whole thing had an impatience about him. We should be able just to call the spirit out, and he should leave. Mm-hmm. What if he doesn't? A couple of Jesus' disciples were trying to cast out a spirit, and he wouldn't go. And Jesus said, "Well, this guy comes out with a prayer and fasting, I think." Mm-hmm. And but anyway, besides what Mark was telling me Friday night, we've also got some other weird things happening, really strange. And so I think that we should get ready for some deliverance. And I was in my mid-40s when that took place in 82. And I don't know that I'm too old yet.
Well, hey, why don't you try and find out if you're too old, Keith?
Well, if God's calling you to do it,
yeah,
it doesn't matter, Abraham, you know, I mean.
Yeah, on March 14th, which was on a Sunday, is when I declared war on the devil. The next night is when all hell broke loose. And my life will never be the same as a result of that. And to be real honest, I never believed it. I never believed it was a possibility until it happened. Next thing I know, I'm doing the very thing that I said isn't for today. Ever been there?
You know, I think what happened was we were told the demons ought to leave quick, you know, when we tell them to leave. And so what we did was if they didn't leave quick, we would pretend they had left quick.
By faith. And I'm teasing.
Yep.
By faith. Mm-hmm. We have to believe they left.
Yeah, right. Well, based on what Mark reported, what happened that Friday, maybe this building ought to get prayed through.
Well, I tell you what, this building would have a good possibility of having some forces if possible. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Suppose you could say it's been swept clean and garnished or whatever it is in the, you know, the demons bring back seven more stronger than. No reason to get discouraged about it or anything, but it does suggest what would be a good thing to do.
I'm not discouraged about it. I'm not exactly sure how we approach it. Or maybe we just let the Lord take care of that part of it. You know, let Him approach it. The one thing I knew for sure.
I think that'd be good.
Yeah. The one thing I knew for sure the other night was that deliverance is not over with. We may have gotten over it, but it's not really over.
You know, Jesus told that parable about the story about, you know, the demon gets cast out, and then he comes back and finds it all clean, and so he brings in seven more stronger than himself. I don't know that he told that story in order to say, well, let the Father just take care of it. Mm-hmm. I kind of take it. It's a suggestion. Do something about it. Now, maybe you shouldn't be just popping off and doing something about it at your own initiative because you think it's a good idea, you know, whatever. But I don't treat that as a suggestion to just go passive on this deal.
So, for one thing, now there's belief where there wasn't before.
So. I think you got to believe that they are. Yeah, you just can't, the words aren't going to cut the mustard.
With
some
weird
stuff. Yeah.
One thing, if we do become a place where people will come, definitely there's going to be demons that we are going to have to deal with, I feel. And I feel our neighbors' two children actually need deliverance, but they need to be, do they need to be a Christian in order to receive the deliverance? Or do we pray for deliverance so they can become a Christian?
Well, I don't think Jesus cast out demons of people that are religious. I think he cast them out of everybody, you know, that came and asked for it. You
mm-hmm.
know? I don't think because you're a Christian, I don't need to cast a demon out of you, but mm-hmm. you're not, so I need to. You know, we also have to remember, Jesus didn't have demons to start with. We do. Which makes it harder for us to deal with it, you know. Because we got demons. Say a prayer for somebody in one of those manifestations. And am I letting Jesus lead this deliverance? Or is a devil or a demon in me controlling it? See, that's what we got to separate.
Yeah.
You know. That's just my thought.
But if the person doesn't have faith that the demon has left them, it leaves it open for more to come in. I'm asking. I don't know.
A lot of unknowns we don't know yet.
Well, that's a good question. If you're saying, you know, you think that those kids might need some deliverance.
Right,
and,
yeah.
And you pray for somebody and it leaves, but they have no idea how to fill it back up with good things,
right.
Then how does that leave them? I mean,
did I do them a disservice?
It's kind of, you know, I mean, it's hard. I guess, though, because, you know, I've been asking for prayer for, I don't think deliverance ever quit for me. Okay. I mean, I've gotten prayer and received it and been very happy that tool was available. I'm not sure why now it would be more so, but maybe because more things are happening, the world's going to pop, you know. I guess I've always been happy to pray with someone. And I think you have to be led of the Spirit to do that, personal opinion, because you can see somebody who's a total manifestation in a store. Take a little kid who's just screaming and kicking. Okay. They just want everything in the store and their mom's not giving it to them. You could look upon that and say, that's demonic. Obviously, he's not. But he's also kind of a spoiled kid. If you would go over and pray for that kid, is that going to mean that he's not going to be spoiled anymore? You know, I think you have to be semi-cautious in the sense that when you pray for someone,
and there's a difference between binding and delivering.
I think this is really hard because.
Well, that's it. That's the questions I have.
Yeah, when people, people go, okay, I don't want this anymore. Could you pray for me? But if you see in a person that they have something, and you're going, I ought to go pray for that person, but that person's going, I'm really happy with the things I have. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I think that...
I'm not willing to let go.
Right, and the tools that the Lord has given us shouldn't be taken lightly. We should be taking them with, put on your armor and go forth with God before you. I mean, to me, it just seems that way. I don't know. I'm not making any sense.
No, you're making sense. Okay.
Okay. I don't know.
Looking for answers, actually, because the kids next door. I pray for binding. I don't necessarily pray for deliverance.
Right.
Because I don't understand. I guess I'm not real clear on what I should do.
Yeah.
But I have a heart for them.
I think that in that case, I would just keep asking the Holy Spirit, going, Lord, I need your guidance because I don't know. And I think that's true for a lot of things. We just don't know. I mean, sometimes you see a person who is in desperate need of a deliverance, and you're seeing that through, you could be seeing it through spiritual eyes, or you could be seeing it through everyday
eyes.
And then I would want to be more prepared going, okay, Lord, if you're giving me this discernment, is it something you want me to do with it? Because you could wind up just in an argument back and forth of, no, I'm fine, I don't need it, you know, there's nothing wrong with me. And sometimes, I mean, I got a deliverance, what, 2 Sunday mornings ago? Ask me when I got delivered of? I have no idea.
I'm there with you.
But I'm free, I'm better, and by the grace of God. So it doesn't necessarily, in my feelings, it doesn't necessarily have to be, okay, we're going to pray for this. We're going to pray for this. I mean, if God leads you, and you're willing, and the person's willing, I don't know.
Yeah.
I still don't know, because, like you said, if you pray for those kids, and you swept them clean, and then... And, you know, in Luke, where it says, hey, then 7 more came back because they have nothing under their belt.
They don't have the knowledge of what to
do. Yeah. I mean, what is the responsibility of the praying or the prayer or the, you know, I mean, the willingness. I'm not great. I'm willing to pray for anybody. And in my flesh, I'm not so sure I'm just willing to go up to somebody in a store and say, you know, I see a demon on you.
Yeah, but that gets to be a form of judgment.
Yeah, because then they could be like, well.
Well, actually, what I've read is they came to Jesus.
Right. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I mean, look at that. I mean, especially the one.
For the most part. Yeah.
For the most part. They
that's
him.
True.
And he prayed for him.
Yeah. Because like the one who.
Or somebody did in their stead.
Yeah. Because the disciples were frustrated Because they're like, okay, look, we prayed for him. What's the problem?
Yeah.
And Jesus is going, hey, this is not just a one and done thing. You need more.
You need more faith.
Right. You guys need to be a little more prepared. And I think maybe we need that armor. We need the strength. And I think you're right about we should pray for the church building. We don't need to have things going on.
And then we come against us.
I mean, we didn't come to the church when deliverance started. We came later on, you know. But it's a wonderful tool that the Lord's given. And I don't ever want to second guess that or play with it.
Yeah.
I guess in a sense would be how I would say it.
That's a good choice of words.
Yeah.
But that was always done in the past.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would just want to be spirit-led, spirit-filled, and go with God. And yes, I'd be happy to pray. But, yeah.
You know, and I feel that both parties, the one being prayed for and one praying, the demons in each one of them was playing each person.
Yeah.
You know, that we were not deep enough into Jesus. That's not how I want to say it, but in our belief in this ourselves.
Or our knowledge.
You know, it was more like, well, he needs prayer, I'll go pray for him.
Yeah.
No. And that's kind of what we did. You know.
Or it was almost like people stood in a line sometimes and, mm-hmm. and people would come up and go, hey, I pray for you, okay, you're fine.
Yeah.
I pray for you, you're fine. And I'm going,
I delivered. Goodbye.
I'm going, and as a person who needed deliverance, I felt like, I mean, I almost felt like the demon was laughing.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
going, yeah. We can handle this.
Go ahead, do what you're doing. I like it.
Yeah, it works for me. Keep going down the line, you know?
We were like little children in it.
Yes.
Inexperienced and just doing what we thought was the right.
Mm. And, you know, and the Lord wants us to come as children, but, you know, but he's also given us a whole list of things to,
but
you know,
I still
to
say
figure it out.
Though Jesus was still involved in it, and some people did get delivered, even though we were, I don't want to say what we were because I don't know what we were at that time, you know.
Well, Jesus honors, or God honors.
Yeah, I truly believe that. God honors. Yeah.
God honors whatever, you know.
I probably wouldn't be sitting here today if it hadn't been for a lot of deliverances. I mean, truly and honestly. You know, I mean, maybe that's over melodramatic, but you know, there's a lot because I've been freed in a lot. But
definitely, I have too.
Yeah, but
and I know definitely that I've been delivered of some things.
Well, I can honestly say I can't say right now. I'm gonna start praying for deliverance. No, because I don't think I'm ready for it. You know. To start praying for people for deliverance because there's a lot I'm lacking.
Yeah. Oh, and there's nothing wrong. I mean, there's nothing wrong. I mean, everybody says it's different. I have always been. This is just me. I can go back to working in the school, and I was so full of the Spirit at after a deliverance that. And I'm going to just say her name, that I offered to pray for Carla Carlson. And she goes, oh my gosh, it's so good. I can't believe I stooped this low where Susan would pray for me because I was one of the weakest, you know. And I'm just saying it was just a combination of everything. It was sort of like, well, you know.
You were so full of the Spirit.
Right. And she's like, no, you know. I mean, but it was because God put something in me. And I think that's, you know, I've just been a willing vessel. That's fine. You know, but I'm not going to push it on somebody. And I think that's where prayer Maybe, yes. Maybe the Lord's just going to ask you to keep praying for these people. Keep finding what God wants you to find in them that's going to help you to reach them and then give you what you need to do for them.
Yeah. Well, having said what I said, I want to put it on. I do believe in deliverance.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to indicate that I did not.
Oh, no, I never thought that.
But, well, for...
Oh.
Yeah.
No, I never.
No, I do believe in it, you know.
So.
I'm kind of feeling one major step is that we just be praying for how God wants to do deliverance.
We were on the floor a lot before deliverance hit. And what we were praying for probably was deliverance, and we didn't know what to do.
Yeah. I mean, because I don't... Personally, I don't want to just go, well, we do it like this because this is how we did it.
Because
mm-hmm. we've said, oh, there's certain people that they keep wanting to go back to what they had. Well, I don't. I want what's new.
Yeah.
Now, some of it might be the same, may not, but I want the Lord to direct it and show us what He wants.
Yeah.
And sometimes we are, me especially, I will say, lazy in praying first about it to the Lord, you know, to be directed. We just assume, well, yeah, I've got authority, I'll just step in and do it, you know. And it might work, might not, but because, like, for the one, you know, well, what if you got five people here and they're the ones that need prayer and fasting? Has anybody been praying and fasting, you know? So, you know, it's just that kind of a thing. I'm just, there were scenarios, I'm not saying that's what's going to happen, but, you know, I just think we need to, I think what we've learned more than anything in getting this foundation with truth and everything is that you need to be praying for the Holy Spirit to guide and direct. And don't assume anything, you know.
It's hard to know where the line is on these things. You know, you wait for protection. Perfection is never going to happen.
Right.
On the other hand, boy, you pop off and do it in the natural, and that creates a situation that's worse than the one that you started out with if you hadn't. You know, I remember watching an argument between two young people, you know, they said, I rebuke that demon. And then the one said, no, I rebuke your demon. Most ridiculous natural thing in the world going on between the two of them. It was so easy to get carried away and be not, you know, not really, really not being led by the Spirit and being just out and out ridiculous. There was probably quite a bit of that. On the other hand, Jay, you wait until everything is exactly right, you're going to be waiting a long time. You're right, Ken. We should be led by the Spirit, but that can be an excuse for never doing anything.
Well, led by the Spirit doesn't mean you're going to be perfect. You know, it just means you're open to be led by the Spirit. Now, you may do it wrong, get re-led. You know, I mean, you may be getting directed all the time while you're praying.
There is a balance, you're right.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, you won't maybe get the whole clear picture right up front, you know, but.
Yeah.
In 82, I think the deliverance that occurred here was probably done through a sense of false arrogance and the fact that people thought they really had their Bible down and they were ready to roll and they could handle anything the enemy could throw at them. And if anything has been borne out over the last 40 years, that was foolishness. As we say, demons are fallen angels. They know God much better than we do. So, there, you know, I listened to Keith talk about Mark and the others' experience last Friday, and I go, But of course, if we're truly following God and we're truly entering into a deeper place of understanding and spirit-led, the enemy, we don't have to declare in the enemy. He's going to declare in or war on us. And so that manifestations will start to occur makes perfect sense to me, both in the spiritual and the natural. I think Susan makes a great point. A couple of weeks ago, she had a deliverance. She didn't ask for it. No one decided she needed it except God. There was a manifestation and God prayed for it. There was no decision making going on in the natural by anybody. And I think if you look at it that way, mm-hmm. and you see a manifestation and the person is willing, because how many times have you tried praying for someone, but the demon knows that they're not ready to rebuke it and it doesn't go? How many times have you been in a prayer session with someone where they basically go, I really don't have a problem. You have a problem thinking I have a problem. And if that's the case, then unless God leads you in an incredibly clear and concise way, you end up going, you know, this isn't God's time. But I'm excited that we can't ignore what God has done for the body in revelation and truth that has been given to us. And not to get big heads, but, you know, if we still approach that like little children, God will meet the need. And as Charlie says, you know, quite accurately, you can stifle that if you're sitting there waiting to be perfect, because we will never be perfect, or at least not until very close to the end. But I'm excited to hear that there is spiritual manifestations taking place, and maybe as a result of the revelations that God has been bringing us. And if we were, and we do enter into a more active ministry of deliverance, it won't be because we're arrogant and think we're really ready to take on the enemy. It's because God will have showed us the way.
And that's what he wants. He didn't do all that for nothing. I think, you know, I mean, for all those who are willing, mm-hmm. because it sure did run itself on the ground, and that's like life.
You know, by faith, we are way ahead of where we were back then. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know that there's more authority available to me because of the truths that God has revealed. I mean, you can't help but be stronger in the Lord spirit when you have truth, you know, more truth. And we know who Jesus Christ is as far as certain aspects. And so when you know, I felt like if I'm going to stand before a demon now, I'm not going to be intimidated as easily or whatever, because I know who I represent. And, mm-hmm. I have a much better understanding of who I represent, you know, in the Father and in the Son. So I think we can become more effective, for sure. I think that's what he's probably been preparing us for, to a certain degree. Not just deliverance, but other things too. But, you know, then that will... could cause a greater onslaught from the enemy too, you know, because he's going to go down easy. But I just feel like we have the ability to have more authority this time around, you know.
I think that's right.
Oh, we can claim it. I mean,
yeah. Well, and we know it's not us. That's the one thing. It is not us. And I for sure don't want to come against any demon in me, mm-hmm. you know. Because there is no way. And that would be arrogance and foolishness to think that, you know. So, yeah, you know, but.
When I was praying deliverance of the past, I used to say, by the blood of Christ, to break the bond of the enemy. Well, that phrase today means a whole lot more than it used to.
Yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the things that mm-hmm. I'm saying that, yes.
Because we know that a man with the fullness of God defeated the enemy.
Yeah.
And we can claim that. Whereas in the past, we can, by the blood of God, and they're going, what do you mean? Mm-hmm. Is that what you're saying? Well, God mm-hmm. doesn't have blood. And the enemy's sitting there going, well, you don't know what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, if he says now, well, you're just a man. Well, that's true, except that so is Jesus, and now we have more of what he had. So you don't have to get scared off by that statement. You know?
That's right.
Right.
Yes.
And because that's what you want to do. You want to come in the blood of Christ for you,
mm-hmm.
you know, and the power and authority that he's given because of his name, which we know more of, and the baptism, and all the things that God has revealed has made it, given us more warfare, you know,
mm-hmm.
tools to have warfare.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just add one little footnote, and I'll be quiet. And we want to be doing this in love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There was a lot of demon chasing that went on in this church, and love was nowhere near it.
Mm-hmm.
We decided you had a demon, we were going to pray for you whether you wanted it or not, and by golly, you were going to be delivered.
Mm-hmm.
Not because we loved you, but because we determined that it was really a problem. Which,
mm-hmm.
again, they were laughing somewhere in the realms going, yeah, no.
This could be God showing us that we've got to get prepared for a battle coming.
Mm-hmm.
Because definitely there is going to be a battle.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to be prepared.
In the men have been talking off and on. We've been asking the question, you know, why has God favored us the way he has in the last 20 years? Well, this may be why. Mm-hmm. This may be one of the reasons why. To be prepared for the battle that's coming. Because as Brother Ken just said, the enemy hasn't quit. You know, he just sometimes eases up when he doesn't see a problem. And maybe it's gotten to the point where he sees a problem.
And the enemy is getting stronger.
Oh, yeah.
You see that in the world today.
Stronger in the world.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when that happens, yeah. And that's what we got to be prepared for.
Yeah. But we know
yeah.
that we have the strongest ally.
Right.
Look at the end of the book, we win.
I love the end of the
book. Yeah, I've looked at the end of the book, and we win. So just have to remind yourself.
Yeah, a battle is going to come.
One area I've thought about too is do we feel the need that we always have to name the demon? You know?
No.
And
I think a lot of times when we were trying to cast out a demon, the demon was telling us a name, and that's what we went after, and he wasn't even that one.
Yeah.
He was just leading us on.
And you know, and you start getting into, you know, separating demons out of people, some of that stuff is personal.
Right.
It's kind of
their life.
To name a demon is judgmental.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, and some people maybe don't want it known what they're afflicted with, but it might, you know, and I understand that. I got some areas like that I don't necessarily want to have called out
broadcasting.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I mean, now, if for some reason the Lord just gives it, I mean, that's one thing, you know. Or the person, if they offer it up, fine, you know. You know.
Well, when Jesus cast the remember who was, and he was, and they asked who he was, and he said, we're legion. There was no name. It was just a whole group of them.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, that's a good point, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, they just
you
know. Yeah, because there was a whole herd of swine out there, so how big the herd was, but there was quite a few of them in that legion group, you know.
Actually, so. I'm thinking, is there a scriptural case where Jesus was praying for someone and actually named the demon?
Yeah, I don't know. That's what I'm
kicking it around.
There were times that there was a particular thing that would be plaguing.
Maybe like deaf and dumb spirit.
Yeah, right.
You know,
and then that was specifically addressed or whatever, and then whatever the affliction was gone when he spoke and whatever, if it was a deaf and dumb spirit.
Well, that's the time when the guy was in chains and all that time. That he got, the guy that was in chains and was hurting himself and all that. I don't know if that's the thing you're thinking about or not either. I don't know.
I don't recall any time, though, when Jesus, through discernment, figured out exactly what the demon was that was, I don't know.
Or that he cared. That's
no.
That was my point. It's a demon, and it's going to be gone.
I was looking. A lot of those deliverances were, they were like health physically orientated.
Yeah.
They were what?
Health physical. Or physical.
Yeah, a lot of more for Jesus.
Like infirmities, you know?
Uh-huh.
Well,
right.
Cancer is a type of
healing. You'd think you would just pray for healing, yet a lot of it was connected to a demon.
Mm. I know for myself, I start rebuking a spirit of cancer in me, and I start getting some spiritual manifestations.
I think that's a major spirit, that's effective today, especially. And that's not a, like a personal thing you're concerned with.
And I don't think it's the whole story, but it's got a role.
Yeah.
The cancer demon has a role in the whole deal. I'm not making it up. I'm quite sure. I'm not making it up.
Well, here it says that when Jesus healed the demon-possessed boy, and the disciples had been praying and praying and praying, and they didn't get any results, he said, "You unbelieving and perverse generation." Jesus replied, "How long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me." Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of the boy, and he was healed at that moment.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So funny. There's a healing that occurs by way of deliverance.
Little face that they couldn't do it.
The illustration Susan gave right at the when she first started, really that tough. That really got through to me about the child in the grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
Screaming and hollering, you know it's a manifestation. But if the child is spoiled, that's not gonna change much, That's
right.
That's a good thing to
that's
something to keep in the back of the mind, it's like You could get rid of the screaming part of the demon, but you're not going to totally get rid of the whole thing of the child if the parents don't reinforce it by not spoiling the child,
And that's kind of the case that we're in.
I always had a little bit of a hard time treating every instance of bad behavior as solely a demon.
Right.
We kind of did that. And I don't know where the line is.
Yeah.
And surely there's some demonic activity that, the demon piggybacks, if nothing else. But I don't know. I just don't know how that stuff.
That's exactly where we depend on the Lord to discern.
To discern.
Right.
Instead of us trying to decide.
Uh-huh.
Now, it's interesting. I mean, even that passage of Scripture, he rebuked the demon. It didn't say exactly what demon it was, but he rebuked the demon, and then the boy was healed. So, he could have been, he rebuked the fact that he couldn't walk, and he called it out specifically, and he walked, but it doesn't say.
No.
And
well, I think so often, as you read in here, in the Bible, when Jesus came to a town, they brought the blind man to him, so obviously, he wants to be able to see, but Jesus never said, he prayed for him. He didn't say, I'm praying for you because you're blind. You know, and the leopards and all the other ones. And, you know, it was always his discernment. I think it was Jesus' discernment. But a lot of times it was specifics that people were asking. Could you pray for my son? He's the only child I have, and he, you know,
and I need help.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
Yes. Well, yeah. What do you want? I want to see.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. I mean.
You know, and I don't quite see the Lord doing something like we come with some physical affliction.
Mm-hmm.
And get prayer, but don't address a demon. The Lord is saying, gee whiz, if they'd only recognize this as a demon and did deliverance rather than prayer for healing, I would grant that prayer. But since they didn't do it, no, I'm not gonna leave them alone. I'm not, you know, I don't see that happening.
No.
I really do not see that happening.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of times we pray for someone to be healed and deliverance occurs, or could.
I think the Lord honors, we're not perfect vessels. If we pray for someone and we don't do it perfectly, the Lord's not going, if you'd only said, then this person, no, because it's His will. His spirit, and we're offering ourselves up to be a vessel of Him, and He knows that He's working with imperfect people, and I think He's still going to honor that. You know, if you come and please pray for me, and you don't even know what, or you may, I don't. Again, that's not going to go. If they had only done it this way.
But He knows your need, and He's promised to help you with your need.
I think there's the big thing, too, is most of all those cases, if you read it and just let it, they, even though it didn't look like it, it was their idea to come to Jesus to get help. That's a thin line too, is how much of the person's will has to be involved, you know. Now, I think we can sit down and go, you know, you understand that if you really don't want to get rid of this thing, we can pray all night.
Yeah.
But somewhere along the way, if you can say, yeah, I don't want this,
right,
say it to the Lord. Don't say it to me, but say it to the Lord. You know, it makes a big difference, because you can't go against their will either if they don't want to get rid of it. Now, maybe, I don't know, God might just do it anyway. I don't know.
Yeah, you start making rules for God. And
But somehow that seems, you know, true. I mean, people could bring other people in and say, they really need prayer. You guys need to pray for them. Well, does that person want prayer?
Yeah.
And there has to be a willingness in the person to say, I don't want this anymore. Because you could drag your kids in here going,
how many times did we?
Yeah, you pray for them because they have such and such. And the kid's going, and I like it, and I'm keeping it, and, you know.
I'm going to be what I want.
Yeah, and so I think, as because we're in the times that we're in, I think this is only true in my own personal opinion, and I don't know if it's spirit led or whatever, but I think God is going to require of us that we have to be, I want to get rid of this. I want to not have this anymore. I mean, and the willingness before the Lord to just say, please take this away. Because I think He's demanding more of us.
There was a situation, I'm not going to get names or anything, but it was a young child, you know. So they were in a manifestation, so they started praying for this child.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was not a lot was happening for quite a while, but eventually, in that prayer, all of a sudden, the child said, yeah, I don't want it. And then it was there was a deliverance, you know, not shortly after. But it, but right when it started, you know, it's, if you're in a full-blown manifestation, you're not going to be, you know, and they bring you in. Well, it may take some time for you to realize what's going on.
Right.
Especially with young, you know.
Yeah.
And I think he, it was like, yeah, look at how I'm acting. This one can't be right, you know. Stuff like that settles in, and then you got a deliverance, you know. And so, yeah, it's you got to surrender if you're in deliverance sometimes, you know, to letting it go. But you don't always see that right at first, you know.
I think that a real major part of love is patience.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Be patient, and don't try to hurry something for your own convenience.
Yeah, yeah, because the demon would be bad.
Been there, done that.
I think that love is going to have a major effect, especially against the demon, because they don't know love. You know, they don't have it anymore. So that's a characteristic they know is from the Father, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's in there, that's going to help a whole bunch, you know.
Of course, the flip side is that you know that the Lord's giving you discernment and so-and-so has a problem, an area they need prayer, and they're not ready. So you sit there and go, God told me. Yeah, but they're not ready.
And that's what patience
is. Yeah, see, you got to go back and say, well, the problem is God needs to tell them, not me.
I'm going to keep praying until you're ready.
That certainly is a situation that's going to come up.
Oh, definitely.
Well, that's like the alcohol.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He wants to be there, me.
Oh,
but then.
That's a real good example.
They don't want to give up.
Well, I mean, look at how many times you quit smoking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, buy a pack and throw it away, and buy it throw away. And it wasn't until the Lord did something in you. You know.
Yeah.
I mean, there's.
Yeah.
Well, it's pretty much rock solid truth that if God's leading, it works better. If God's driving, it usually has a much better outback than someone in the body is. I'm not pretty sure.
I don't want to take away from things that could be happening, but a little discernment is, you know, when it's really windy out.
Oh yeah.
It moves that door.
Yeah. Oh, I know it. Chuck turns around and goes, "I'm the door." Because I've been doing it for a long time. Yeah.
I keep thinking somebody's come in and nobody's come.
Yeah. No. And it's windy today. So.
And heating and cooling can make a building make noises too.
but
it's not to say. Yeah. Right. That's not to say. That's right.
Yeah. And it's certainly.
Get back to Ken's point there. He's talking about the will, but you also have to have faith.
Uh-huh.
Now, when Jesus made the mud and spittle on the blind man's eye, he didn't heal his blindness right away.
Yeah.
He told him, go to the well and wash. And he did do that.
Mm-hmm.
But what if he didn't do that? See?
Yeah.
So he had the faith to do that. If he didn't, he probably wouldn't have been cured of blindness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's exactly right. In most of the examples in the Bible, the person who ends up getting the healing or the deliverance demonstrated great faith. I mean, the centurion who traveled a great distance to talk to Jesus before in the son's behalf, and then says, no, you just have to say it. I know it's going to happen.
Yeah.
And you know, a couple times Jesus makes comments like, I haven't seen faith like this. So you're right on this point, Glenn.
Let me also say that I was there in 1982, 83, whatever, you know. I am sure that thousands upon thousands of mistakes were made in the whole process. Multiple thousands of mistakes were made.
Yeah.
Should we not have done it? No. It was, you know, we learned from a lot of mistakes, and we, even though we missed the bullseye in the dartboard, we, you know,
there were
good things that happened.
Yeah. That took place.
But oh my, the thousands of mistakes we would have made. Thousands.
And we didn't necessarily learn from those either.
Well, we learned from some of them, maybe. but no, you're right. We didn't necessarily learn.
It's given us a little more humility now, knowing that we made mistakes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, like I said earlier, I think in a lot of this, I think we were being played by the game. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was, I'm sure that happened a lot, many, many times.
And
they were actually leading us.
Now that we're seeing that, means we had to go through it.
Yeah.
You know,
a little more prepared, maybe.
Yeah.
And I think we all got a whole much new base that we didn't have back then.
Yeah.
Because of the trials of life, we did.
New
friends.
Okay. That's a big step.
That you made him, that things you regret and things, so you can, you got something to go on.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's probably right there. You know, you wonder why it all dissipated, but then it's like we want to bring it back in a different, in a Lord's way.
In the end of Mark.
But he does have believers, you know, that he didn't have before.
It says that the first one that saw Jesus was like Mary Magdalene,
mm-hmm.
out of whom he had cast seven devils or something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And which he went and told the disciple, they didn't believe her.
Mm-hmm.
And then the two people that were from Emmaus, and they came and he walked with them in a different form. And when they went and told the people, it says, and they didn't believe it.
Mm-hmm.
So when Jesus came to the 11 that they were sitting together, he upbraided them, it says, for their unbelief.
Yep.
And we developed a lot of people that started to come in because of deliverance.
Mm-hmm.
And because they knew that they had problems and they were not being satisfied in the churches that they went to.
Mm-hmm.
And we went to a number of different churches. There was one over by Green Bay that we went to. And the pastor was there. And I think it was Assembly of God, I'm not sure. And the people were sitting in the, and they knew they had problems. But you know, he could not acknowledge that they did. In his mind, they're fine.
That's what I was going to say. What Bonnie was bringing there is that was the biggest step in our Christian walk, was just to acknowledge that there were demons,
mm-hmm.
and they were affecting us. You know, people can accept, oh yeah, there's demons, but not in Christians.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, that was a big demonstration of faith back then. Huh?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I thought. When we got delivered, broke out, I thought, oh boy, we're going to be a real asset to the neighborhood.
Yeah.
The deliverance was us.
Yeah, it was.
I thought demons were something that, you know, couldn't be real because Jesus couldn't do that to anybody. You know, like, there's no way out. And, you know, and here there was. I mean, it's not a demonic thing. It seems so scary. So.
Yeah, that's true. It's like they're not necessarily like the, you know, this thing that's just going to destroy everybody physically and everything. You know, like the movie show. You know,
yeah.
A lot of it's just behavior type stuff that they work on. You know. And, yeah, they probably would be ugly if you actually saw them, maybe, but the fact is that's not really the point. The point is that it had an effect on people.
So anyway, Satan, we declare war on you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, amen. Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Yeah. 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 Christians.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Amen.
Yeah.
So are we going to pray for the church?
Pray for the church, pray for the...
Like we started studying the
Declaration.
About the beginning?
Yeah.
Yeah,
like
that.
At least we know what we're getting into this time.
I'm sorry, like Glenn was saying, you had said something about praying for the church. Are we going to do that? Should we do that?
Should we do it?
Yeah, I mean...
Yeah.
Okay. Lord, by your Spirit,
yes.
Your cleansing wind, your wind of the Holy Spirit, O Lord, would come through this place, O Lord. Come through it. Come through it and blow out every ugly demonic force that might have set up some sort of residence here. Sweep through. Sweep through this place.
Yes.
The this building, the other building, the basement, just throughout, wherever there would be some kind of pocket of demonic, whatever, nest or whatever. Lord, we ask, oh Jesus, that you would wash by your Spirit. Wash it out by
your
Spirit, Lord.
Yes.
Just cleanse. Thank you. Any kind of curses that may have been, for whatever reason, might have been placed on this church, Lord, the building or the organization, whatever, Lord, we break that curse. We break any such curses now.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus, we rebuke Satan.
Yes.
We rebuke Satan in any kind of way that he would seek to hinder us. And he would. We rebuke that now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Anything that would seek to make us less effective than the Lord would have us to be, we rebuke that thing now. We rebuke it. We rebuke it now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, that Satan would not be able to put some kind of hindrance on the ministry that the Lord would have for us. Whether that hindrance be some kind of physical affliction on the people or whatever. Whatever. Some kind of sense that no, we won't do that now. Any kind of error that the enemy would seek to put on us, O Lord. And maybe that error includes popping off and doing something when it's not the time. I don't know. But anyway, Lord, we are becoming more your servants of truth, Lord.
Yes.
And so, Lord, that would continue, that there would be no demonic force that can put the stop on that process. No demonic force, no wall that the demons would put up, oh Lord, that would say, okay, no, that's enough truth. Don't need any more truth now. Oh, by your Spirit, rebuke any kind of demonic force that would do that. We rebuke that now in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
We rebuke it.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, your Spirit. Thank you, Lord. You guide us.
Yes.
You guide us.
Yes,
God.
That's right.
Your will.
Yes. Yes, Lord.
Thank you. Where you can reside.
Thank you.
Lord, we just ask that you break any and all curses that have been put on this building.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Set us free from those curses.
Yes. 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 Thank you.
Let this be your temple, Lord. That you can reside in truth.
Yes.
In each of us.
Amen.
Amen and amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Be ready for that.
Love you all.